Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glory has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are bold, very bold. We're not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read, and it's not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. It's God's word to us. Thanks, Ian.
Thanks, Andrew. Good evening, everybody. I think that's got to be one of the quickest changes I've ever had to do, because Sister Andrew said, how many songs have we got? He said, we've got just one. Right, okay. So I want to start this evening, and I'm kind of glad, obviously there was a bit of a wedding thing going on yesterday, and I'm kind of glad, I didn't actually watch it myself, because I had better things to do in terms of going to the cinema with my two boys, but having watched the highlights later, one of the amazing things of the ceremony, and I really hope she did this, was that Meghan wore this very long, very beautiful veil. And what I want us to look at tonight is actually that of how we, each of us, can remove or take off the veil. And that moment where actually Harry himself goes and first of all says the words to her, if you read his lips, you look amazing. Which I think, what a beautiful thing for a groom to say to his bride. If he hadn't done, she probably would have given him a slap. But then the whole thing of that he himself lifted it off. And as you can see in the picture there, just the look of absolute deep devoted love that she gives him as he's draping it back over the back of her head. And so what we've just heard in the reading is that the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth and speaking against the teachers and leaders who claimed some form of superiority or better knowledge or being better apostles than he was, trying to claim some sort of superiority over him and actually comparing themselves to each other, but also to him, and probably ministering in the same sort of circle as Paul was, but claiming a far greater authority than he has himself, commending themselves as better than he was, trying to assert their superiority and their spirituality and set themselves apart as true spiritual leaders whilst putting others like Paul down. And so what we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is Paul's response. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to let the church in Corinth know that he's called and is chosen by God. He's trying to show them that the spiritual leaders claiming height of perfection are actually the ones that are false. Because what he's trying to say as well is that there is by no means that we ourselves can make ourselves perfect. See, I think one of the problems that we face is that often we have this culture, and we even have it today, of actually trying to come up with this constant comparison to others. And I don't know about you, but sometimes you look on social media and you look at Instagram or Facebook or something else, and you look at the amazing things people are doing, and we start to think, oh, I wish my life was actually like that. And in some way, that can actually take us off our sights off what God is actually doing in our lives as well. And that what we end up being is we live in a world where we're driven by the presentation, by the way it's actually present, things are presented to us, and in such a way that it's an image that has been manufactured, and we can often manipulate people into thinking we're something that actually, in reality, we're not. And then again, also, we're so busy looking at the images of other people's lives and constructing an image of our own life based on what other people are doing. So in many ways, we're actually creating a veil that we place over ourselves because we start to see what we think other people are doing and how they live and actually thinking, well, compared to them, who am I? What am I? And what Paul's trying to do is describing the problem that he's seeing around him. And so what he uses is a different analogy of the veil and the example of Moses. And if you're not familiar with the story, Moses was the one who received the Ten Commandments. But time and again, Moses would go up the mountain to actually meet with God and to spend time, days, talking with God. And when he came down from the mountain, because he had been in the pure, radiant, glorious presence of God, his face shone brilliantly with the radiance and the glory of God. So much so that the people of Israel couldn't bear to look at him because his face was so bright and so radiant. They were like, they themselves were saying, cover yourself up. We can't even stand in your presence because this glory is just so incredible. How can we even look at you? But also, he wore the veil as well, so they wouldn't actually see when that radiant glory of God actually started to fade away. Because maybe when they saw it fading away, they thought, well, he's less of God's guy now. He's less of the man that we thought he was. And so what he's doing is, he's wanting to show us that Moses himself, who was bringing down the Ten Commandments, was one who actually had to wear this veil to keep the radiance of God away from the people. And what Paul's saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14, is that for some, the veil has not been removed. Today, as both Alan and Andrew have been saying, we are celebrating Pentecost. We're celebrating all that God and Jesus did and the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, that the separation between us and God has been removed, and that the Holy Spirit came down, and that we are now here today because those disciples that met in the upper room went out from that place filled with the Holy Spirit and started speaking to everyone in their own language. And from there on, it spread out across all nations. And we are here today because some of those men and women passed that news on to the next people and to the next people, so that today we are still the result of what happened at Pentecost. And I think that's an amazing thing. But the problem for a lot of us is that we actually are still living with a veil on because we think that we have to get to a certain point before God can actually work in our lives, before we actually are good enough. And the reality is that when we start thinking like that, we start thinking like every other religious system that's out there, that we think it's all based and around what we do. When the reality of what we've been hearing tonight so far is that it's not about us, but what God has already done for each and every one of us in and through Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He is the starting point and the end point of the work in us. All we have to do is accept it and believe in it and make ourselves the vessels to receive His Spirit. It's not about me getting to that point of making myself perfect so that I could actually go and get baptized. And maybe for you tonight, you've never actually been baptized as a believer. And maybe you think, one day I will, that I'll get to that point where actually I am good enough. Folks, you will never, ever get to that point. It's about accepting what Jesus has already done for you. It's about saying, as Alan was saying, and as Andrew was saying, this whole thing of, I'm actually taking that step, and this is a testament of that I no longer want to live for myself. I'm putting the old me to death, and I actually want to live a new life in and through Christ, who fills me anew by his Holy Spirit. Because Paul says in verse 14, only by believing in Christ Jesus can the veil be taken away. Taking away that veil of being, it's about our performance, about working towards perfection, about presenting ourselves good enough or holy enough. We can't do it in our own strength and by our own abilities. What Jesus says to each of us is, take that veil off. Because I don't know whether you realize tonight that Jesus is the bridegroom of the church, and we are his bride. And just like Harry was stood there yesterday, and he's looking to see and seeing his beautiful bride coming up the aisle, and sees her to that point, do you honestly think he would have got away with leaving that veil over her face? That for the rest of his married life, never actually looking at her radiant beauty, the one that he loved and devoted himself to and made his vows to? Did you see the size of her veil? How impractical would it have been to have kept that thing on for the rest of their married life together? And yet for many of us, we actually live our lives in such a way that we want to hide something of ourselves from Jesus. And Jesus is standing there in front of you right now saying, let me remove it. Let me see you for the beautiful person that you actually are, because I died for you, because I love you so much, because I want to look on you. Because the other amazing thing is, as it says in verse 8, is that shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way, now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? If the old way which brings condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way which makes us right with God? Because not only is our bridegroom, he's the one who actually makes us right with him. Because here's the other thing that he did as well. Because if you know anything of the Old Testament, there was the temple in which was the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. When Jesus died on the cross, the temple curtain, the veil which separated mankind from God's presence, because only on one day of the year could man actually enter it, and only through the purification and all the sacrifices that had to be made in order to make them ready, that one priest, one day of the year, would enter the most holy place, the dwelling place of God. When Jesus died, as it says in Matthew 27, and then Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. Through his death, Jesus tore the veil that separated us from the very presence of God himself, making access for you to get to God just like you are. You don't have to make yourself holy. You don't have to sacrifice anything anymore, because the greatest sacrifice ever has been made for you and for me. That is Jesus Christ himself. So no matter how broken you may feel you are, how dysfunctional, how messy, how despicable you see yourself, Jesus looks at you and says, I love you. I want you. I want to look upon you because I want to see my radiance in you. He tore the veil and now invites you to a life that goes beyond the veil. Only in Christ is this possible. Being baptized doesn't mean that Alan is now superly, humanly, wonderfully perfect. Praise God, he isn't. Because we'd have to throw him out of this church. No, sorry. And I'm sure there's a whole group of people here tonight who could say, do you know what? But the reality is he's being made into more like Jesus. And Jesus wants to do the same in each and every one of us. That actually he wants us to stop being slaves to this idea of being perfect, of being holy, but coming to this idea of actually living out in the freedom that we now have because of what Jesus has done for us. Because as it says in 2 Corinthians 3:16 and 17, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. God wants to set you free. He wants to set me free from whatever's weighing us down, from whatever is holding us back from all that we could be or all that we want to be. God wants to set you and me free. Free from some of the things you've messed up with. Free from some of the guilt that you maybe still are carrying. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, not where it was, not where it will be, but where the Spirit is today. He is here for you today. And you are invited to accept him. You're invited to live out that freedom. As it says in verse 18, you don't have to cover up or hide or look like you have it all together. Because we are all being changed more and more into his likeness. I have not got it all sorted out. And I'm one of the pastors of this church. Every day, I make mistakes. I'm pretty sure Andrew makes mistakes as well. I'll speak for myself then. But every single day, our goal and our aim is to be made more and more into his likeness. So that we actually radiate his glory to the world around us, to those dark places in the world that we may go in our week. Because in the darkest of places, his light can shine brightest. But the problem for some of us is that even now we're probably wearing a veil, pretending to be something that we're not, or thinking that everything is okay when really it isn't. And we keep people from seeing us as we really are because we feel we can get away from it. But the reality is God sees you. He sees your heart. He sees your brokenness. And he wants to step in and he wants to do something about it. But he doesn't force himself upon us. You see, the problem is if I'm still wearing a veil, a modern day interpretation for me would actually be a paper bag on my head. And I did think about, oh, I'll use a really good illustration. I'll put a paper bag on my head and then I'll walk round. And then I thought, no, there's a great big pool of water. So you just have to visualize it. That actually I can walk around thinking everything's okay when really it isn't. And so I'm wearing a paper bag on my head and I'm wandering round and people just see this beautiful image of me, whatever it is. And think, oh, Ian's okay, when really on the inside things aren't. Or the situations that really aren't okay. And for each and every one of us, we've got to come to that place where actually we are willing to allow Jesus to take off that veil. To actually see us where we're really at. And that we actually turn back to him and say, not my way, Lord, but yours. because if I still walk around with that veil, I can't see clearly. I can't see you clearly because there's something in the way. I can't see you the way that Jesus sees you. I can't see God for all his glory because I'm allowing things to cover my eyes. I can't see myself the way God wants me to see me. And God says, I didn't set you free to walk around blind, to walk around with the bag on you or the veil over your eyes. I set you free so you could actually see the way, the world that I want you to see the world. And I think part of the problem is today that we compare ourselves to others, and God says that I've got so many different things to show you, but you're blinding yourself with that veil. Will you let me remove it? Will you actually let me show you what it really looks like? And I believe for some of us tonight, God is saying, will you let me take that veil off? Will you look at me? Will you speak to me? Will you meet with me tonight? Because I have things I want to show you. So my challenge for you tonight is, will you see and will you reflect the glory of God through Jesus Christ, your bridegroom, the one who stands and waits to receive you as his bride, that he might take off that veil of whatever it is you feel that you've got to be before you're good enough, and actually realize he's already done it all for you. He has made you already in his image and wants you to reflect his glory in every situation, in every aspect of your life. But will you take off that veil? Let's pray.